securing a mortgage isn't always easy, especially if your situation itself isn't so simple. Maybe you're an entrepreneur without a regular income. Maybe you're a new immigrant with no credit history here in Canada. Or maybe you're going through some big life change, like a divorce or something. Whatever the case may be, the process of getting a mortgage can be really daunting. Rob McLister is the founder of mortgage rate comparison website RateSpy.com. He joins us now from Naples, Florida, to tell us about some tough cases he's seen in the past and to talk about some solutions. If those are your circumstances, hello there.
Hey, Bruce. Good chat with you.
You're Canadian, but you were smart enough to get a place in Florida. Nice, because the weather here is still not spring or summer.
Yeah, no, I'm just riding things out. Let me know when it warms up up there, and I'll be right back.
At this rate, it could be another season or two. Who knows? I did reference a couple of examples where getting a mortgage isn't as easy. Give us a flavor for some of the tough cases that you've seen in the past where it has been difficult for someone to secure a mortgage the traditional way.
Yeah, you know, if you're just a regular person, well-qualified, you're buying a house or refinancing, life is usually pretty simple. If you're, you know, encountering some life challenges, maybe you're going through a divorce or, you know, you're a brand new business owner without a heck of a lot of experience, or you're new to the country and you don't have a lot of credit history, those are examples of when you can find challenges in the mortgage process.
What are some solutions that people can pursue if those are their circumstances?
Well, we can start with divorce. That's a good one. A lot of people get divorced in this country. So typically in those situations, you have one spouse that's buying out the other. You got to take the other spouse off title. So, you know, here's a simple example. Pretend you have a husband and wife. They got a $500,000 home, and the wife wants to stay, and the husband's leaving the house, and they got 20% equity. And assuming that they get along and they've agreed to split equity nice and easy, then each of them would get 10% of the home value when all said and done. So essentially in that case, you know, the wife would get a new mortgage, pay out the existing mortgage, and buy out the husband. And then the husband gets his 10%, the wife keeps her 10%, and Bob's your uncle. And that's, you know, it sounds simple, the way I put it, but there are little hitches that come up along the way. For example, we've had clients where they can't agree on the separation agreement. So most lenders require a fully executed separation agreement. And, you know, I've seen cases where, you know, the husband and wife hate each other and they want to part ways, but they can't get the separation agreement banged out. And it takes 6 or 12 months longer to negotiate and close.
Let's go to the entrepreneur example here, because that's a situation a lot of people find themselves in. How do you get financing when you don't have a T4 that illustrates your income for the last X number of years?
Yeah, so most self-employed programs require 2 years of self-employment and at least 2 years of tax returns, CRA notices of assessment, and if you have a corporation, unaudited financials. Now, someone that is newly self-employed, that's where you have more challenges. Fortunately, CMHC came out with a program not too long ago that makes it easier for folks that have been self-employed only recently and or don't have traditional proof of income. So they might be able to use things like signed contracts or, you know, previous proof of income. Mm-hmm. A similar role or have, you know, just a lot of cash reserves, and CMHC will consider that.
What about co-signing, having someone co-sign on your mortgage?
Well, anytime you don't have enough income to get approved, co-signing is always an option. So, you know, going back to the divorce situation, if you're a wife and you're staying in the home and you can't qualify on your own, you know, maybe you have a new boyfriend or whatnot that wants to go along for the ride in the mortgage, and we can use his income to qualify.
What part of credit history can be ported from one country to another? Is that a way to sort of build up the case that you're good for the cash?
So if you're talking about a new immigrant situation, someone with no credit history in Canada, then, you know, the lender, most lenders will allow a foreign credit report. And if that's too hard to get for some reason, then some lenders will allow alternative proof of credit, like a bank reference letter or proof that you paid your rent on time for a year, that kind of thing.
how do lenders factor in qualitative things? Like back in the day, you'd think, well, I've got a good relationship with the bank manager, or I've got a case that really pulls at the heartstrings. Where's the wiggle room?
Well, those, you know, those face-to-face meetings with your lender don't happen as often as they used to back in the day. You know, most people now, many people don't even meet their mortgage broker, don't even meet their banker. It's all done by phone and internet. So that face-to-face looking in someone's eye and seeing if you have a good feeling about them, that doesn't factor in as much anymore.
Educators Financial Group is a they do mortgages. They also do financial planning now. They were founded, 30 or 40 years ago, because some teachers found it hard to qualify for mortgages back then. How much would you say the industry has evolved over the last couple of decades of thinking more holistically about what makes a good bet?
Well, if you're talking about qualifications, so we had obviously the mother of all recessions, you know, a little over 10 years ago, and things tightened up significantly. Now, they're starting to loosen up more. So you're starting to see, you know, things like, you know, stated income come back, interest-only mortgages, that type of thing. And so there's always an option for you. It really depends on how much equity you have. That's always the main factor. There's a lot of lenders in Canada, specifically private lenders, that will take a chance on you, even if you can't prove your income, so long as you have, you know, a 35% down payment, for example, in a marketable home.
There are a lot of people who work in the gig economy, so they don't have jobs. Maybe they drive for Uber. Maybe they're on short-term contracts. How do lenders look at people without traditional jobs these days?
So that's a little bit of a gap in the mortgage process and probably one that will get addressed at some point. But certainly if you have, you know, your little side job and you can prove income for 2 years, then it's much easier. If you can't, then your traditional lender options are much fewer.
Where do you go if you don't qualify for a mortgage at a traditional bank or even one of the big secondary lenders? I mean, there's a lot of talk about private lenders and those sorts of things. What's your view on that?
So private lenders and mortgage investment companies are surging, as are non-prime lenders. So the lenders that take a little bit more risk in exchange for a higher rate and fees. That whole segment of the market is growing gangbusters. And, you know, the banks are actually losing some market share, and a lot of it is because of government rule tightening. But like I said before, if you have enough equity and you have a marketable home, there's usually a way to get you financed.
What note of caution would you have for people who are considering going the private lender route?
Well, there's some people that just feel they have to get into the housing market, and you know they're willing to pay a 7 or 8% interest rate in order to buy a house when they've been turned down at banks and alternative lenders. And that's a scary thing. And you know, the stress test in general, I'm in support of it. But when it comes to people who are refinancing, you know, they have been disproportionately negatively affected by the stress test because sometimes life happens, right? You have an illness, you get divorced, you lose your job, whatever, and you have all this debt that you got to get rid of. And the, you know, traditionally back in the day, a lot more people could refinance with a traditional lender at very good rates. Now, after the B20 stress test came in, that's harder to do for some people. So people are racking up debt at very high rates, and eventually you have to pay the piper.
One last question before we go. Looking to the future, what is the role of technology going to be, and will it help or hinder some of those people who have a less traditional, you know, work narrative, like entrepreneurs, like immigrants? Is AI and other fintech entries going to help or hinder them?
You know, I don't look at it as much of a big benefit in terms of qualification, you know, helping you get a mortgage or get approved for a mortgage. But in terms of comparing mortgages and actually finding the best deals, that's where technology is having a major impact. Someday, you're going to be able to go to a website, talk to a bot, and get amazing mortgage advice without ever talking to a human being, without having to listen to someone's sales spiel or whatnot. And that type of technology is coming faster than you think.
You can spend all year in Naples, Florida. Well, I guess in the heat of summer, you don't want to be there, right?
Oh, no, we got to get back to the snow.
Rob McLister, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
Rob McLister, founder of RateSpy. We were talking about what to do if your situation is somewhat out of the ordinary when it comes to getting a mortgage to buy a home.